Welcome to today's edition of Feet to the Fire, where we're always challenging the status quo. For more cutting-edge commentary, go to feettothefire.org. That is feet, the number two, thefire.org. And now your host.
Here we are, and welcome back. Never fear, your beloved host is here, Sergio Fassa with Feet to the Fire. I apologize for my voice, you can tell. Allergies has gotten the best of me, and that's why I had to take off yesterday from lack of voice. But don't ever worry. If I'm not here, I will be back. And I kind of have a nice, sultry, deep voice this morning, so I appreciate you bearing with me and putting up with it. And actually, part of the problem also, I preached on Sunday two sermons, and that strain on my voice wasted it away. But what that means is we are going to get that sermon up on Feet to the Fire on Saturday sermons, either this weekend or next, and you definitely need to check that one out, The Role of the Local Church in World Missions. So let's pick up where we left off last week. We were talking about this Loudoun County issue in Virginia where there's alleged assault of women by a gender-fluid boy in the girls' bathroom. Allegedly happened at one school, and then the student, this gender-fluid male, was moved to another school, and it happened again. And, you know, the story's been in the news. The father of the girl went to a board meeting, got really upset. And rather than admitting what happened and prosecuting the offender, what the board did was called the cops on the dad because said he was unruly, which is in line with our current Justice Department under Attorney General Merrick Garland, who's saying that we need to arrest parents who are objecting to board policy on CRT and other things because the parents are direct domestic terrorists and the board members feel afraid. Are you kidding me? This is a convergence, an intersection of the elites who believe they can do no wrong and are above the law, and also the snowflake mentality of safe spaces where if you're a politician, you can't be offended by being criticized. Grow up. If you want to be a board member or any other political leader, deal with the heat in the kitchen that you're going to get. I guess they're going to come after me too because of my August smashingly successful speech in front of the Board of Ed. Just playing around here. I'm not actually being cocky. But a speech questioning the mask policy in New Jersey in Toms River. And they started calling me the Declaration of Independence man. And that was a lot of fun. So go check that out. The audio is also on my website. And the video is on YouTube. Anyway, this Loudoun County story is not going away. Glenn Youngkin, the Republican candidate for governor in Virginia, called for the school board to resign after an email revealed a sexual assault cover-up. The whole thing was the board saying, oh, we have no evidence. We have no evidence of any sexual assault. Virginia gubernatorial candidate Glenn Youngkin demanded that Loudoun County Superintendent Scott Ziegler and the school board resign following a bombshell email this week that showed the board was made aware on May 28th that a female student reported she had been sexually assaulted by a male student in a girl's bathroom. This is from townhall.com. The email was sent to school board members about a month before Ziegler said at a board meeting that he had no record of assaults in the school district's bathrooms. So there it is. Ziegler said no record of it, and yet the email was sent to the board members a month before he said that. So there's obviously cover-up. And remember what I said last week. The controversy also centers on a Democrat-sponsored and Democrat-passed law. Democrat legislatures in Virginia, legislators, and the Democrat governor, supported obviously by the Liberal Teachers Union. And the new law recently passed is that schools don't need to report cases of sexual battery. So even if it happens, handle it in-house, don't involve the cops. When girls are being sexually battered, I don't know the legal difference between battery and assault. I don't care. Don't sexually molest any girl. And if that happens, law enforcement needs to be involved. Where do we live? Ancient Corinth? This is insanity. This is insanity that we're dissecting the differences of sexual molestation against young women. For what? To protect who? gender fluid males or predatorial males. So I want to make this point this morning. This is the problem. Listen, my dear Feet to the Fire audience, and understand this. This is the problem when you dissolve Christian sexual mores and beyond that, Christian ethics, moral boundaries. You see, the cry of the left is that Christianity and moral order is constricting, it's religious persecution, the Christian patriarchy keeps women under its thumb, all these rules and laws are oppressive, and particularly in the area of sexuality, we need sexual independence and sexual freedom. So they got it in the 1960s, the sexual revolution. Everybody can have sex with whoever they want, no rules, marriage doesn't matter anymore. Oh, you know the story. But here's the point I want to make. This is in lockstep with feminism, the sexual revolution. So, feminism says women are independent. They can do what they want, practice sexuality the way they want. But the moral of the story is this. Whenever you remove Christian boundaries, and particularly Christian sexual boundaries, in the name of feminism and the independence and sinful autonomy of the individual, Now we've talked about in the past a lawful political autonomy. That's good. But moral autonomy where God doesn't matter in my life and away from me with all these Christian laws. What it always finally devolves into, listen now, is the exploitation and the abuse of women. Feminism and the sexual revolution and sexual freedom and independence will never yield anything grand or wonderful for women. You know, I am woman, hear me roar. We are just as men in this culture. It'll never end up that way. It'll always end up in the oppression of women. Maybe for a time they will appear to be free, but it will dissolve into their oppression. And the reason I'm saying this is because the argument is always down with the patriarchy. We don't want the patriarchy anymore. No more traditional roles. But here's the problem. That's the same issue with socialists saying, down with property rights. Everybody's going to share everything. There's no more private ownership. The reality is property rights, the right to private property ownership, possession is embedded naturally in God's creation like gravity. You can't get rid of it. The issue with socialism is it's not a question of dissolving property rights. It's just who's going to have them. And in socialism, the small few elite have them and the rest of us are poor. That's what leads to oppression. It's the same thing with the patriarchy. It's embedded. It's built into God's creation. Males, men, masculinity, that will always be the dominant gender. I don't mean in terms of value. I'm saying in terms of strength. Men are the dominant, physically dominant gender. We have equal value before God, but God embedded leadership into men. Women are the caretakers, and they are the gender of healing and compassion. Look, I don't want to get in debate over this. My point is, patriarchy will never go away. The question is, what kind do you want? What kind of patriarchy do you want? Because you can have a Christian patriarchy, which is what we've had, which is the one, according to the teaching of the Bible, the true teaching of the Bible, women are valued and treated well, and sexual boundaries allow for their protection and their good treatment. Where we say you can't molest and abuse women. They're not property. But the minute you pull away those Christian boundaries, you're still going to have patriarchy. It's just going to be a perverted form, a lawless form. So in the name of, you know, look, do you want, here's another patriarchy, the Islamic patriarchy. Women are property. Women can be raped. If women step out of line, you can behead them and kill them and stone them. That's a kind of patriarchy. The problem with the sexual revolution is they took away all the Christian boundaries. And there may be the appearance of freedom for a time, but eventually it falls and decays into this, the exploitation of women. Because there are no more Christian laws and Christian morals and Christian boundaries to say this is how women ought to be valued and treated in society, as sexually pure, as special, as esteemed. And men cannot transgress sexual purity and cannot abuse and oppress women. That's a Christian patriarchy. It values and esteems and protects women. You take away these boundaries, and here's what you have. A society that is now out of control. Women will ultimately, the patriarchy is going to stay. It's just going to be a monstrous form. Women will become property and will be oppressed. And now we're at the point, because of sexual freedom and taking away Christian boundaries, now gender doesn't even, talk about sexual freedom, gender doesn't even matter anymore. You can be whatever gender you want. You could behave however you want. And guess what? When you pull those boundaries out and you got boys saying that they're girls and they're gender fluid, they can go in the girls' bathroom. Oh, all of a sudden, masculinity, the dominant, physically dominant gender, it's going to somehow be restrained. No, it's not. You took all the restraints away. So the gender fluid guy is going to go into the bathroom and abuse the girl. And now the feckless, cowardly political leaders are saying, oh, well, we don't have to report those incidents when it's merely sexual battery. This is what happens. Women aren't esteemed anymore. They're treated like trash. It's a behemoth. It's a out of control, as I said, a monstrous patriarchy. Women don't need sexual freedom and independence from God's moral order. They need, and society needs, the protection of Christian moral order. And to round this out, CBS News reports that Rachel Levine, who is a man, a transgender man, claims to be a woman, is now a four-star admiral. Assistant Secretary of Health Dr. Rachel Levin made United States history last week, as the first openly transgender four-star officer in any of the nation's eight uniformed services. The Department of Health and Human Services announced the former pediatrician's appointment also made, it says her, it's not a her, it's a him. The first female four-star admiral in the U.S. Public Health Service commissioned Corps history. First female, not a female, four-star admiral in the U.S. Public Health Service commissioned Corps history. This is insanity. It's a man that thinks he's a woman and acts like it. This is a momentous occasion, and I am pleased to take this role for the impact I can make and for the historic nature of what it symbolizes, Levine said Tuesday in a statement. May this appointment be the first of many like it as we create a more inclusive future. This is a mental disorder, and we're affirming it at the highest levels of government. He tweeted this. I am deeply honored and grateful to join the ranks of men and women across this great nation who have committed to defend the United States against small and large threats, known and unknown. I promise to uphold that trust to the fullest extent of my abilities. Can you believe this, if the founders heard this, that a man who is obviously mentally disturbed and dresses like a woman is now boasting, I will protect this great nation? There is no protection in that. By the way, when you look at this guy's picture on Twitter, he looks like a freak because he's dressed like a girl and a very ugly woman at that. But this is what happens. Strip away the Christian boundaries. Oh, my buddy said this. He said, apparently, this is what feminism has earned us. Now with gender fluidity, a man is better at being a woman than a woman. That's what society is affirming. And I give credit to my buddy for saying that. The first woman four-star admiral? No, because he's a man, but he's getting credit as being a woman because he's insane. So feminism is teaching us that men are better at being women than even women are. And as I said, you remove Christian morality and all you end up with is the denigration and abuse of women, which is the history of the world. Let justice roll down like waters of America and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. Don't believe the hype out there. What keeps moral order and maintains the civil society are the commandments and laws of Scripture, particularly the Christian patriarchy on behalf of women that keeps their protected status.